We're going to read this morning from Mark chapter 11, the first 11 verses. So if you want to pull it up in your phones or get a Bible, then please do so and we'll read together. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it here, back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Amen. When my girls were small, mere toddlers, they loved stories, as all children do. And one in particular has been in my mind the last week. Between 1893 and 1904, Beatrix Potter wrote a collection of original nursery rhymes called Apply Dapply Nursery Rhymes. And it was first published in 1917. For those of you who noticed a break in the filming there, my cat has started scratching at the door and I had to kick her out. So sorry about that. The trials of being at home. So yeah, Beatrix Potter's Apply Dapply Nursery Rhymes, a great favourite of my kids. And I've got one of the little rhymes for you now. Gravy and potatoes in a good brown pot, put them in the oven and serve them very hot. You can tell these stories weren't too disturbing. They were gentle, they were reassuring. And the pictures in the book were just exquisite, as anyone who's looked at any Beatrix Potter books will know. And as I would read the book to the girls, they'd cuddle in and I'd feel them grow heavy against me as they relaxed, hearing the reassuring words of a much loved story. Many a fever-browed child could be calmed by the familiar words of those nursery rhymes. Stories matter to us. All of history, we have made sense of who we are, our connection to the past, all through stories from one generation to another. Excuse me. The Jewish people share the cedar meal at Passover, and that's a multi-generational remembering of the liberation of the Israelites from slavery in ancient Egypt. And this retelling of this shared history, it reminds them of their identity, and it increases their faith, the saving power of their God. This past week, I've had a fair few wobbles. I think reality is beginning to sink in. Certainly the novelty of being at home has worn off. I've heard some hard stories. I've seen the exhaustion etched into the face of those in the front line. At times, my attention span seems to have reduced to that of a goldfish. But I know that that's all a symptom of the underlying stress that all of us are under, that all of us experience. And if there's been one thing that I've quoted from last week's sermon, it's that none of us, Shona's comment, none of us are working at our normal rate. And that actually 50% is to be expected of us at some stages. And that's okay. It's okay to wobble. It's okay to be grieving or angry or maybe operating in hyperdrive, you know, busy doing things, never be able to rest. But for me, it has been a time of blessing to dive into the Bible passages associated with this time of year, the run-up to Easter. I have read today's story so many times, and it is so familiar to me, and I'm sure to many of you as well. And that has felt like a healing balm to my soul. More than ever, God's word feels like something steady, something constant in the midst of a fast-changing world. When the world around me is buzzing with endless news, scary graphs, statistics, information about the lack of proper equipment for our frontline staff and their patients, when my brain is going 100 miles an hour trying to process all of this, making it no sense to me, it was turning to scripture that calmed me down. And actually, unusually for me, it wasn't the Psalms that I turned to, but rather the gospel stories. Readings like today that brought me back to the rock, that brought me back to Jesus, back to a place of calm. The gospels have felt like an invitation to me this last week to return to the familiar parts of my faith, the stories that I've heard since I was a child. A return to what I know was true when the world around me seems to make very little sense at all. And even when I wobble, the stories are there to reassure me. The gospel stories have been an invitation to go deeper with God as I sit in these truths, as I meditate on them. And I wonder what it must have been like to be there, to watch Jesus at work, to see the stories and history unfold. Amidst the turmoil, this past week has been an invitation to spend longer in scriptures. And for me, that has been a gift from God. And so, in an effort to share that gift, I hope next week, Holy Week, the run-up to Jesus' arrest, his trial, his death on the cross on Good Friday and resurrection on Easter Sunday. I hope to use Holy Week as a reason to bring a short reflection every day by way of a video posted on Facebook and emailed out to those of you who don't use social media. And I'll spread that load with others. God willing, Shona Sterling will step up one time and Andy Reid will share with us as well. And I pray that you'll engage with those readings and those reflections and comment. This is an opportunity to go deeper into God's word, to seek him more in the scriptures, to move closer to Jesus in this process. The leadership team have talked at length about going deeper, and this is such a simple way to do this in this season. And so, in the short time that I have today, I'm going to share just a couple of thoughts on this passage. But I have to say, they are brief. Our attention spans, after all, are not as what they were. And so I would encourage you, whether it's part of your life group, whether it's just getting together with pals from the church or on your own, that you would go back into the passage today and other days and just reflect on it and just see what God wants to show you from it. It starts with Jesus and his disciples approaching Jerusalem. The long, slow climb from Jericho, which is 800 feet below sea level, up to Jerusalem, which is 3,000 feet above sea level. So a climb of 3,800 feet. They're going up at a time of community. They're going to spend Passover in Jerusalem at the temple, of rejoicing as they go up to the Passover and the temple. And actually part of that preparation for them is singing the Psalms of Ascent, which are Psalms 120 through to 134. And so I would encourage you, why not read them yourselves over Holy Week? In verse 2, Jesus sends two of his disciples into the village ahead, and he tells them that the colt will be there. Let me just pull the passage up. And he also says that they might be questioned. And he gives a response on how to answer that. And of course, the colt is there. And actually, the disciples are questioned as well. But the colt is there, just as Jesus said it would be. Jesus spoke, and his words, really quickly, are shown to be true. Let me just say that again. Jesus spoke, and his words are shown to be true. Jesus' words are truth. This short passage this week, above all else, God used it to remind me, Jesus' words are true. In a week of wobbles, what I needed to hear, and I am sure some of you listening to this need to hear this reassurance too, Jesus' words are true. We can trust him. We might not have any understanding of this time we're being forced to live through. And some churches have even gone as far as suggesting we're in the end times. This is a time of God's wrath. But actually, we simply do not know what God is going to do in this season. But what do we know here, today, now? Jesus' words are true. We can trust Jesus. Jesus knew there would be a colt there to enable him to fulfil Zechariah the 9:9 prophecy. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey. And that colt was there as he prophesied. We can trust Jesus' words. They are truth. The other thought that I wanted to share with you was the sense of contrast in this scene. On the one hand, we have the joy of the crowds who know, you know, they have found their Messiah. They are celebrating, who know the kingdom of God is at hand. But from their stories in the past, the bits they're choosing to take out is that they're expecting a king who will conquer the Roman enemy, the enemies of Israel, and they will have a Messiah who will bring freedom by way of battle and military victory. We think things are changing fast for us. Imagine how quickly confusion would set into that celebrating crowd when Jesus' followers and all the rest watch the horrific events unfold as Jesus is arrested and eventually killed. But for today, for this passage, we have joyful, celebrating crowds. And in the midst of that, in the middle, we have Jesus. As we approach Holy Week, leading up to the events of Good Friday, let us not forget that Jesus is fully God. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows the horror of the trial, the desertion of the crowd that seemed to love him just now, the betrayal by his closest friends. He knows of the beatings to follow. He knows of the death that awaits him alone on the cross. And Gethsemane shows us that he knows. All that faced without the comforting presence of the Father, Jesus knows. But as well as fully God, Jesus is also fully human. And so as well as knowing what lies ahead, he also suffers the same human emotions that you and I suffer. The fear, the troubled heart. You and I worry about the future not knowing what's in it. Jesus knows exactly what's in his future, and he knows it will be faced without God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We can have no sense, no idea of the depth of his despair. But gosh, how that contrasts with the happy people around him. But we do know this. It is all part of God's plan to redeem you and to redeem me, to free us from having to pay the price of sin, to free us from death by having Jesus pay that price for our sins, so that we might stand forgiven by God and have eternal life with him. And so, while the details of the story disturb us, there is also the gift in them as we prepare for Holy Week, that all this was done for you and for me, that we are loved with an everlasting love. And for those of us who follow Jesus, the kindness of God has rescued us from the grave. May that bring thankfulness and love to your hearts these coming days. And may it bring peace to troubled minds. Amen. I have three verses from Psalm 122, one of the Psalms of Ascent. And I'm going to pray, I'm going to read them now, and then I'm going to pray for us in closing. But at this stage, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. Let's pray together. Lord, our strange world continues. Help us get used to the changes. Help us adapt our practices, our rule of life. Draw each one of us closer, I pray. Help each one of us to go deeper with you. Whether that's by worship, whether that's by studying your word, whether that's by spending time in our 24/7 prayer room, either alone or with some friends. Draw each one of us closer, I pray. And for us, I pray for the peace of Glasgow. May all who live here, love here, work here, may they be secure. We pray in particular for those of our friends and family who are on the front line, whether that's working in the NHS, whether that's working in some other supporting capacity, whether it's collecting the bins, serving at Well Fed, for the teachers who are still on duty. Lord, make each one secure. Keep each one safe, we pray. May there be peace within the walls of our houses and security within our citadels. Lord, for all of those who are working at home, for all of those who are kept in isolation or social distancing in their home, we pray that there would be peace within the walls. We pray that there be times of calm, that actually relationships which can become fraught, difficult, actually, you would send your spirit, Lord, and there would be a sense of calm. We pray for patience for those who need it. We pray for energy and resilience for tired parents of toddlers who are trying to contain the energy in a restricted space. Lord, may there be peace within our walls and security within our citadels. And for the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. O Lord, protect our family. Protect our friends. For those who are ill, we pray for healing in Jesus' name. Lord, keep us, hold each one of us safe in your arms, close and cuddled into you in this coming days and weeks ahead. Lord Jesus, have mercy. Amen. Amen.